In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the fourth Sunday of the month of Papo. And it's a very short but really powerful gospel. We know that this is one of the three resurrection gospels. What are the other two? Yes. So there was the Lazarus, that's the big one, after 3 days. And then we also have the daughter that died and Jesus came right away and resurrected her. So this is kind of falls in the middle, where they're on the way in order to bury him. What was the name of the city? Nain, right? Nain means beauty. It's kind of ironic, though, because at the doors of beauty, what was happening? Death. Death was happening. I had something in mind, but actually, as Abuna was praying the litany of the gospel, he says, "For you are the hope, the healing, and resurrection." Hope, healing, resurrection. And it dawned on me that that's exactly what takes place in this gospel. Today's gospel is from St. Luke chapter 7, and it kind of starts somewhere in the middle of the chapter. Beginning of Luke chapter 7 was actually the healing of the servant of the centurion. And the story goes that the centurion, the Jewish people, came to Christ in Capernaum and told him, there's this man, he's a Roman man, a centurion, but he's done so many things for us as a community, and he deserves for his servant to be healed. So they brought the centurion, and the centurion was like, "Jesus, you don't even need to come. You're a man of great authority, and I'm a man of authority also. I say to people, come, and they come, and I tell people to go, and they go. So just with that same exact mentality, say to my servant to be healed, and I know that he'll be healed." And the verse right before this gospel starts is actually Christ saying, "I have not seen faith such as this in all of Israel." What's interesting about today's gospel is there's actually no faith. Nothing is mentioned about faith, right? And it's one of the only ones where there's no faith talked about, no faith mentioned. As we see that Christ comes in and he's going into the city and he sees this widow and her son being carried out in a coffin, and he stops them and touches the coffin, and the miracle happens. There's no faith in the matter for today. That's something that I want to touch on for a second. To put this in a little bit of culture context of what was happening, this woman, we know that she was a widow, right? So her husband died. She does not have any more children. This is her only child. This is her only son. And culturally at the time, as we know, women cannot work. The most that they would do to help out is go fetch water in the morning and come back home. So there's no source of income. There is no man figure in the household. There's nothing for her to rely on anymore. Absolute nothing. Her only support, her only source of income, her only everything is now in a coffin that she's carrying to go be buried outside of the city. In the Middle Eastern culture, even till today, we say phrases like, "My life is in this person," or "My spirit is in this person." Omri fiq. Like, it's a very deep thought and understanding that my life, everything that I have, is in this person right here. And that's exactly what was happening to this woman. And all of a sudden, she finds herself without any of these things. The church teaches us that this woman is an example of the church. An example of the church. The church that only has her children to cry for. The church that weeps over her children who are in sin. So what is the church saying for us today? I'm going to start with the Pauline, and if anyone is paying attention, the Pauline and Catholic epistle hit on one theme really, really hard. And in the Catholic epistle with St. James, he was like extra harsh with it. Does anyone know what that theme was?
Greed.
Money. Riches. And St. Paul is warning Timothy of greed in his church. And he goes in there and he says, "For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, for which we have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrow." He's telling him that a very clear message is people who rely on riches, people who rely on their physical possessions, are straying away from the church, and he's saying that very clearly. And there's no middle ground here. He's saying, he warns them and he goes, "But you, men of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight." He's warning him and he's commanding him to not care about anything else. And he gives a command to the rich people and he goes, "Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves good foundation." And then in verse 20, if we could pull that up quickly from today's Pauline, he says something very powerful. He says, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith." So what is he saying in normal day-to-day English? He's saying that people like looking very Christian, but what's happening on the inside is very, very much straying away from Christianity. He's telling him, guard yourself, avoid profane and idle babbling, what is falsely called knowledge. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we kind of hide behind that looking godly. He's telling him, people love nothing more than pride and love arguing about, sorry to say, some of the dumbest things out there. Because then they could hide behind this facade of knowledge and looking godly. And he's telling him, actually, true godliness is self-denying, self-empty, putting the other people ahead of you. But so many of us are attached to the wealth and comfort of earth. Exactly like how this young man was attached to his coffin. Nothing else. There's nothing else left except for him and his coffin. If we hold on to this world and we forget the spiritual side of things, it's as harsh and as simple as that. We're either holding on to the coffin or we're holding on to something that is so much more. Storing up foundation that we will have in eternal life. And it's amazing to me how much we care about small, tiny things. And I'm talking to myself before anything else. Opinions, our pride, our possessions. I have this, I want that. And St. Paul is saying over and over again, godliness with contentment is a great gain. That's what he's telling him. Godliness with being content, contentment. Saying thank you with godliness in mind for what we have. Thank you in Greek is Ευχαριστία, right? Which is the Eucharist. And I'm hoping that you're starting to align all of these ideas together. So St. Paul is saying, forget everything else. Godliness and the Eucharist, that life of thanksgiving, is all that's needed. And again, he tells them, those who are rich, let them do good deeds with the riches. In the Catholic epistle, St. James is not as nice, to put it very lightly. And he says the following. I think verse 2 and 3. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. He does not take it lightly. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be witnesses against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Your possessions are moth-eaten. Similar to what the Lord says in Matthew 5, where he says, do not lay for yourself treasures in heaven where? Moth corrupts. Our unhealthy attachment brings that death. We don't know why this young man died. Most likely it was a disease of sort because he was still young. But something happened to him that brought death. And the gospel of today, the church is weeping with the crowd that was following the mother, with the mother, for those who are holding on to this life, holding on to this death. And then a very loving father comes into the picture. And it uses, St. Luke uses like almost like super poetic words because he goes, when he saw the woman, he moved with compassion. We have a God who sees with compassion. He sees healing. He sees restoration. And that's what he comes in for. I'll be the first to admit that a lot of times I feel very spiritually dead. Sure, physically alive and very well fed, but dead spiritually. And my church is weeping for me. The Lord sees with compassion that weeping, and that is the good news. He doesn't go to watch the burial, right? Like, well, it would be normal if someone is moved with compassion for another. Man, I feel so sorry for this old woman. Like, I'll stick by her side today and see if she needs anything. I'll stick by her side for the week and see what if she needs anything. But his movement with compassion is so great that healing and restoration and resurrection is about to happen. That is the good news. He approaches and he touches the coffin. He touches the dead. What's wrong with that image? If anyone... Yeah. It's unclean. Remember, for Jewish people, it was unclean to touch the dead or anything of the dead. And he goes and he physically touches the coffin. He touches the dead against the law, showing to the people that he is life. He is life-giving. And as life touches and gives life, that body arises, that body has healing. Some people might ask and say, why couldn't he just use words? That's what he did with Lazarus, right? He told him, Lazarus, come forward. And Lazarus came out. But to show the people how he's truly divine, how he, in the flesh, is fully God and fully man, revealing himself before the people. When death meets life, when death meets light, when darkness meets light, that darkness is demolished. If we're weeping for ourselves or for someone else, or if there is spiritual death, one solution is to encounter Christ. His touch heals, his body heals. Not in knowledge, not in argument, but in true experience. We try sometimes to, again, run around from things. So I'm going to read about this more. I'm going to study this more. And that's great. And sometimes when life gets too difficult, then I want to take a break. I want to travel around. I want to go see this, see that. And we try to run from whatever death that we're seeing. But the one solution is godliness. And again, St. Paul and St. James really hit on that today. I want us to stop running after the things that will leave us more dead at the end of the day. A direct encounter with Christ is the only way to have life. That's when we have hope. That's life touching us, the source of life touching us. What else could distract us away from that? What else could take us away from that life-giving touch? So Christ today is telling the church exactly what he told this old woman. Do not weep. Hope. Do not weep. But rejoice, because Christ himself is here in our midst, on the altar. And we're not just touching today, but we're entering very deeply. He's entering inside of us, very deeply inside of us. He's becoming our own flesh. He's becoming our own blood. So it's not just an encounter of touch. It's an encounter of full restoration again. That source of life, when you leave here today, becomes inside of you. I don't know what type of death or illness or whatever it might be that could take away from that. The simple fact of the matter, the simple truth of the matter, is today we have the chance to have life. So Christ is coming with actually a very joyful message of do not weep. Do not weep. The answer himself is among us today, and he's giving eternal life to those who partake of him. That's what we say at the end, right? That's what the deacon says, an eternal life to those who partake of him. So rejoice with thanksgiving, just like St. Paul told us. Rejoice with the Eucharistia, with the Eucharist. And the gospel of today actually ends with a very beautiful verse. Sorry, Andy, one more time. The very last verse. He says, it says, when he did this, fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up against us, and God has visited his people. Fear came upon all, and they glorified God. As we're entering the next part of the liturgy now, we should have that same exact mindedness. Feel and trembling, because we know who we're approaching and what we're approaching. But with glorifying God, with knowing that that same touch is about to take place here, only much deeper. We're entering a mystery full of joy, full of healing and life-giving. Let's focus our mindset and our understanding to encounter life and be healed and resurrected. We want hope today, you'll have hope. You want healing today, you'll have healing. You want resurrection, you'll have resurrection. The two things that Christ said out of his mouth today is do not weep, and he touched the coffin and resurrection happened. Let's focus on those two things. Focus on the joy and the resurrection that could take place to each one of us. To him be the glory, honor, dominion forever and ever. Amen.